Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. And sadly, we don't have Venerable Tom Dorian.
No.
We do have Ziggy Rodriguez.
We do!
And that's so exciting. I'm so glad you're here. Yeah, it's interesting. We both know, and not a lot of people don't know this about Tom, but he really he loves square dancing to the point where I might call it problematic, you know? So he was really hitting it hard recently, and he actually sprained his lateral do-si-do. So it's like that's a tough thing to get over, especially as we get older. You know, it just doesn't work as well. So we wish him well. He's a little under the weather, and so he will join us again. Although I think he might have avoided this particular topic because this is about we're going to talk about more of this summer of holy matrimony, and we're going to talk about authentic communication and intimacy, and really just some characteristics that go with that. And I think that's, you know, Tom doesn't like to communicate. Right? His nickname is Stonewall, you know, so.
Well, he has a pet raccoon that he talks to.
Well, that's even more problematic. Okay, anyway, we're going way off. We're going way off here. We need to go back on to things here.
I have a sock puppet I talk to.
I understand. All right, TMI. So, there's a lot of things we have to do when we communicate, you know, and we'll say communication is like this important thing, and everyone agrees that communication is an important thing.
Yeah.
But honestly, it's vital, and I think a lot of people don't put enough emphasis, and then we'll say the word communication, and everyone assumes like there's just one big facet of communication, and that is communicating.
Right.
Like I say something, you hear it, and we've communicated. It's like that's not really what's going on here.
Right.
Now, I'll tell you what, before I do this, I do want to talk about a communication I received. I got a phone call out of the blue. Every once in a while, people track me down. And this was a person who, as it turns out, I was involved in their conversion to the Catholic faith many years ago. And then also in I baptized their baby. Aww. So I'm just giving a shout out to Haley and Tim in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Hey.
Hey, shout out. And also to Georgia, who I baptized. And then they've also since had another child, Cece. So a beautiful little family. They're also listening. And I'll say this. They have a small group. Setting where families get together, right? So couples, it's like a couples ministry at their parish. It's a very small thing that they're doing, and it involves drinking beer, apparently. I don't necessarily endorse that part, but hey, you know, we're Catholic, right? So everything in moderation. But anyway, they get together and they have a good time, but also they are going through the Summer of Holy Matrimony. They're going through our series, and they're using it as an opportunity to learn more. So this is the communication part of that, and it's very important. And I think that as you go through this, as we go through this, and we talk about these necessary characteristics, you're going to start to realize that in some ways, all of us need work with this. Mm-hmm. And this isn't all strictly about marriage. It is, but all of these are some general characteristics that come with necessary characteristics that come with communication, but more importantly, authentic communication and intimacy. Yeah. So when we say authentic communication, we're not talking about what we think. Yeah, I think they got the message. I mean, this is talking about authentic, but then also not just communication, but intimacy.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm not talking necessarily about what someone might think when you say the word intimacy.
No, but mutual self-revelation.
Yeah, exactly. So in this, I'm going to go through a list of things here, and we're going to talk about it. And you can quietly, you don't need to do this out loud in front of your marriage partner or your spouse-to-be, you know. But what you can do is mentally check off, do I do this or do I need work here? Because what you're going to find is, for a marriage to be successful, each and every one of these things need to be present.
Yeah.
And when there are issues, obstacles, problems that arise in a marriage, you know, sometimes after 1 year, 10 years, or 25 years, it's going to be because one of these things is not present.
Right.
Right? Or there's a misunderstanding about how present it actually is. So let's just go through some of these. So the first one on my list is vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
Now, usually we hear about vulnerability and we think of vulnerability as a weakness. Right? It's like, oh, I'm vulnerable. This is where the enemy can attack. I'm vulnerable in this area. I have a weak spot. There's a kink in the armor, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And really, it's not about that. It's really something that blesses a one flesh relationship.
Well, I think, you know, it's very important too to think in terms of, you know, we have a lot of people who are living in shame right now, and I'm someone who I spent many years where I dealt with all kinds of shame, and you have that inner voice within you that says, well, if they really knew me, they wouldn't really love me. Right. And you feel like you have to hide who you are. Right. And like we see the story of Adam and Eve, where what's the first thing they do after the fall? They cover themselves.
Yeah.
Right. Before they were naked and they were unashamed. And they, you know, part of that was they were looking upon each other. And they both experienced that piece of the interior gaze as they looked upon each other. They weren't objectifying the other, and so they weren't fearing being objectified by the other.
Right.
But they also just weren't fearing of being judged by the other.
Right.
Right. And so, but we're all living in these fig leaves these days and covering ourselves up.
That's right. And so this vulnerability is one of these characteristics I think that a lot of people don't think is a good thing, but it really it's actually beautiful, because if you look at this from the perspective of, you know, if neither one is first or best or in charge, then both are first or best or in charge. In other words, being open and willing to allow the other to lead is a beautiful quality. And if both do that, then there's a natural inertia, and really it's actually divinely inspired, because then Jesus takes the lead.
Yeah.
God takes the lead. God's revelation takes the lead. And then both of you are led in a beautiful way. And so it's really beautiful to see that when that does happen. And there's also this image that comes to mind about vulnerability. You know, we sometimes talk about two young folks that are in love as having puppy love,
mm-hmm.
right? And, you know, I actually think, you know, that puppy love is a good thing. And the reason why is, like, that expression, where it comes from, have you ever seen a puppy or a dog that you're trying to pet the dog, and then they roll over on their back, mm-hmm. and they expose their softest, most vulnerable parts to you. And it's a natural sort of like just sort of giving in and giving over, to you. And so you rub their belly and they love it. And, you know, their little leg kicks and all that kind of stuff. And it's a beautiful thing to see, but there is a willingness to allow themselves to be, open. 'Cause, you know, usually in terms of a predatory world, you know, an animal in the animal kingdom is not going to expose their vulnerable parts to you.
Right.
Right. Their belly and where they are most vulnerable to attack. But they trust you. They love you. And they want to expose that part of themselves to you. Right. Plus, they're going to get a belly rub out of it, you know, which is nice. But in terms of ourselves, we need to be willing to essentially expose the most vulnerable parts of ourselves to our significant other in marriage, because we are willing to open ourselves in that way, and it's a kind of humility. It's a kind of just a statement that I am yours, and then when it's reciprocated, you are mine. It becomes a beautiful exchange, right? And this is necessary in communication, that vulnerability, not trying to be prideful and win the argument, to always be the one in charge, to always have the right idea or the best idea. Sometimes you have the right idea or the best idea, but to be vulnerable is to be willing to accept the other's good idea, mm-hmm. right? There's a lot of that needs to go on. So, and these are all connected, by the way. You'll see one touches the other. This next thing I want to talk about is trust. Yeah. And everyone will say, yeah, trust is important. But literally, vulnerability is not capable or able to even be expressed if there's not trust.
Right.
Right. The puppy's not going to, if the puppy doesn't trust you, right, then they're not going to be vulnerable to you. In the same way, there has to be mutual trust one to the other in a marriage relationship, right? And so it's like, it's like so petty jealousies, attempts at control, right? Those actually do damage.
Well, there also just needs to be a trust, a basic trust that we both are willing each other's good. You know, we both care about the other, and we're both trying to make this work, right? Including during the difficult times. Because if you have a situation where you're like, I don't really know if I can trust that this person is going to love me if I share this part of myself, you're not going to be vulnerable. So, I mean, it goes hand in hand, and you're going to end up feeling very lonely if you lack trust. And similarly, you're going to feel very lonely in your marriage if your spouse doesn't have that trust. And the only way you can really build that trust is to earn that trust.
Exactly.
You know,
this is why when someone falls and that tragically happens in relationships, you know, like infidelity or something like that, or even the hint of it, this is how it's really hard to either maintain or get that trust back when it's lost. So that's why avoiding the near occasion of sin, avoiding your weaknesses, and you know, that kind of avoidance, like we call it the near occasion of sin in Catholic speak, but really avoiding those situations, avoiding scandal, things that might look bad, specifically because you're trying to continue to build trust. And when you betray that trust or take advantage of the other's trust, you lose it, and it can be a very, very devastating thing.
And there's a lot of people who might be in radio land who either personally have general trust issues or have a spouse who have general trust issues. And listen, that's something that happens. And it might be a generalized thing. It might not be specific to your spouse. It just might be, I've been hurt a lot, and it's hard to really trust people, and it's hard to really be vulnerable. At that point, I think checking back in with our Lord, especially in the Eucharist, in adoration, and, you know, seeking a healing there, because, you know, we first have to trust God.
Yeah.
And then trust through that trust of his goodness, trust that, well, he has brought me together with my spouse or with this person who we're on the path to becoming spouses, for example, you know, and help, ask the Lord to help heal that part within you that might be interfering with trust. And if you have a partner who is struggling with that, you know, it's not going to get fixed overnight, but bringing it up and saying, you know what, I really think if you seek the advice of a priest, if you really seek to bring this into your prayer life and seek a healing for it, God desires you to have these fruitful, healthy, vulnerable, trust-filled relationships.
Yeah, I've encountered folks along the way in counseling and whatnot where I hear statements like from one or the other saying, oh, well, we will never spend a night apart, you know, or I will never do this or ever do that. And you think like, well, that might be a little extreme, and there might be some trust issues at the core of that. And then also there's other things. This is one of the reasons why we ask during marriage prep if the couple has a prenuptial agreement, because essentially what that's saying is, I don't trust you.
Yeah.
I mean, it just reeks of antitrust, you know, and that's a problem. So vulnerability and trust. And then the next thing I want to talk about is honesty, right? Honesty, essentially truthfulness. And so, again, hand in hand, vulnerability, trust, you can't have those two if you're not honest and true. So at the end of the day, anything that you're hiding, you mentioned hiding earlier, anything that you're not talking about, things that you're keeping to yourself, these things, it doesn't mean that you, you know, you're always going to have that struggle when someone says, does this dress make me look a certain way or whatever.
Yeah, you should say absolutely, honey. I'm just kidding.
No. This is why you're not married yet, Sam.
No, you point to a higher truth.
Well, but
if she's not in the best shape.
All I'm we're not going there.
We're not
going
to go there.
No,
all I'm saying. She's still beautiful.
Yes, absolutely, 100%. And all I'm saying is, there's sometimes lose-lose. So don't you know? It's not going to be good. No. But you've got to be honest, and you've got to. To speak the truth, because if you're not true to the one that you're married to, then you're not true to the one that put the marriage together.
Yeah.
Right? There's you can't. There's no more lying.
Yeah.
Right. There can't be hiding and lying and any kind of falsehood. Now, there are varying degrees of falsehood. There are some really bad lies, big lies, or what they used to call white lies, a little small lies. I will just say that, you know, the more you lie, the more you speak an untruth or untruths, however small, the easier it is to lie. So we have to be mindful of that in life. But essentially, honesty with the other person. And it's not your job, by the way, as a spouse, to make sure the other spouse knows that they are the one with the problem. Do you see what I'm saying?
Sure, sure. Yeah,
which is not necessarily ever the case. It's just that when we say these things, it's not our job to like point out the other's faults. That's not what honesty is about.
Well, you know, you brought up the thing about like, does this dress make me look fat? I think things, which obviously can be a difficult thing for some people to navigate. You know, it's easy to say the wrong thing or say it the wrong way. But if we link it to what we were just talking about, you know, she's being vulnerable, right? And there needs to be a trust between the two of you that you love each other unconditionally. Right. That she is always absolutely beautiful, and that there's nothing regarding, you know, that's not going to change, you know, and the more you build that person up in the trust that you are absolutely a stunning, beautiful woman, I am attracted to you, you know, things like that, I'm so thankful for us to be together. Right. I mean, that's ultimately what's, you know, really matter, is that she's built up in that security and that trust.
That's right. And it's not just her. It goes both ways. I mean, because the guys, you know, not necessarily about looks or whatever, but there are times where, you know, it's like, hey, do you think I was like a jerk in that situation? It's like, oh yeah, you were a jerk. But there's ways to do that in a way that doesn't demean them, that doesn't objectify or lower them, you know, and make it seem like you're the judge in the relationship. And it's like, so it's always about this there's honesty, but how we balance that with civility, respect, etc. And when we get things right, I mean like rightly ordered, like what you're talking about with like not objectifying your wife or your husband and reducing them to body parts or how they, you know, falling into what the world might value. These are things that we have to avoid and realize where beauty comes from. But a lot of us want to be vulnerable and say, hey, does this, like, you know, I might ask my wife, is this shirt too tight? Does it make me look like I need to lose some weight, you know? And there's nice ways to say that, respectful ways to say, hey, maybe this is not the best wardrobe choice, and here's why. And you don't do it in front of other people and all these kind of things. There's but honesty is there because, like, there's no barriers between us,
yeah.
Right? And that's what the honesty and the truthfulness is all about. So vulnerability, trust, honesty, and then the other is openness. So openness, another word for openness is transparency. And it's different than honesty. Openness is like I'm allowing you to see all of me, and I'm not hiding anything from you. And I'm being open with you. I'm telling you how I really feel. Now again, there's always got to be discipline, discernment, respect, human dignity, all these things have to come into play when we're being open with the other,
yeah.
Right? Or being vulnerable with the other and we're trusting or trying to build a relationship of trust and also through honesty. All those things come into play, but really openness, you can't hide anymore, right?
Right.
And so like we don't have any more secrets.
Yeah.
Right? So what are you really feeling? What are you really... You know, you don't want to hide that stuff because, you know, this is why the silent treatment is bad.
Yeah.
You know, don't go to bed angry. And we'll talk about it. We have conflict resolution coming up in the next show. But the thing is, at the end of the day, no more secrets. No more secret stashes unless you have Chex Mix. You're allowed to tuck some away so no one else knows where it is. That's the only exception to this rule. But you know, no more thinking like, well, separate bank accounts.
Right.
Or this is my stuff and that's your stuff and let's keep those separate. Now, she may have no desire to mess with your golf clubs, and I get that, and that's fine. It doesn't mean that, like, we share everything. So I bought us some new golf clubs, honey.
Yeah.
You know, I bought me a new Corvette so that we can share it and you can ride in it with me. You know,
right.
That's not what we're talking about. What I am talking about is the idea that, like, secrecy, hiding from the most intimate person that you have on the planet, right? The other human being that you are most intimate with is essentially going to destroy the trust, destroy the vulnerability, and the honesty.
Yes. And it's not the case that we have to just say whatever's on our mind, yes, whatever correct. We're thinking or feeling. We're supposed
right.
to. People have intrusive thoughts. People, you know, sometimes have stuff that they need to sort out, and you have to check yourself interiorly with stuff like that. But if you are starting to find yourself living a secret life because you're not checking those things, you need help.
I mean,
you need the help of your spouse.
An extreme example of that is how many times we see these movies, we're fascinated with them when we find out some man has a second family.
Right.
And it's like, I guarantee he didn't wake up one morning and go like, I think I'm going to marry somebody else and have kids
right.
and live in another city, in another house. You know, it's like, how does something like that happen? You know, infidelity, having relationships outside of your marriage, which is terrible. It's awful. It's tragic and should never happen. And these things, we step into them by, well, not being vulnerable, not trusting, not being honest, and certainly not being open about, I'm experiencing some problems and difficulties here. And maybe it's just me. I don't know. But we need to talk about this. Right. But when someone says, well, what do you feel? How do you feel about this? You don't go like, but then you really feel strongly about it. It's like, I don't want to talk about it. It's like, that's not
right.
That's not a good, healthy thing for communication. Okay. So another one is another authentic characteristic of communication, authentic communication and intimacy. And that is prayer. Prayer is something that is the spiritual glue that holds your relationship together. Praying together, being aware of what each other is praying for, or in that, like, in other words, your relationship is not between two people.
Yeah,
there are three people in your relationship. You've got to have Jesus in your relationship.
And this is a hard one for a lot of guys, especially. And I don't know what it is about men. Even as a man myself, I've had a lot of guy friends who've opened up to me about difficulties that they're having in their marriage. And I was like, well, hey, man, have you prayed with your wife? And he's like, oh, we don't do stuff like that.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's
right?
Weird.
That's
what
think that. Well, guys don't typically like to do that. But it's, guess what, guys? It's not just the guys. It's also the ladies. And what you start to find is people don't know how to pray together. And they'll right? And because a lot of people picture prayer as being some kind of, you're in a Pentecostal relationship.
Right.
You're going to speak in tongues and your hands are going to go up in the air. You're in the middle of Kroger and you're just suddenly going to have like this moment with God and everybody. And you're speaking in tongues in the frozen foods. And it's like, that's not what we're talking about.
Right.
We're talking about simple. When Jesus taught people how to pray, he taught them the Our Father.
Right.
So something as simple as saying an Our Father, Hail Mary, Glory Be before you go to bed. Right. Or just exclamations of prayer. Lord, help us. Lord, help us figure this out. You know, Bess and I just went on a little trip, and, you know, either she leads it or I lead it, but we do an angel of God as we get in the car and as we start our trip. And it's like just a little thing that we do. And it's not like people go like, oh, they're praying together. How embarrassing.
Well, another thing that could be kind of a hack for this is if you feel uncomfortable about praying out loud, you can be like, well, what we'll do, like praying what's actually on your heart and your intentions. You can say, let's pray a rosary together. And before you do the rosary, do we have any intentions to bring up?
Yeah.
And then at that point, you're bringing up stuff that we're going to be lifting up in the rosary, but it isn't something where you have to be phrasing it in some way.
Right. Just simple. We're praying for Uncle Bob.
Yeah.
We're praying for this big decision we have to make.
Right.
And then do an Our Father.
Yeah.
You know, or do a rosary like you're suggesting. The key here is in terms of vulnerability and openness and honesty with your spouse or spouse-to-be,
yeah.
is say like, hey, can I just say something embarrassing? I don't know how to pray.
Right.
I don't pray usually. I think I do inside. I think I believe in God. I'm pretty sure I do. And yet I don't really know how to express that outwardly. And I want to be able to do that with you. And I promise you, your spouse or spouse-to-be is going to like, okay, I'm going to let you in on a secret. Me too.
Right.
Me too. And so then all of a sudden you're on a journey together. Right, so that's a beautiful thing. Now, the other thing I want to talk about, another authentic characteristic of communication, is listening. We are so good at talking. There's a reason why God gave us two ears and one mouth. We are so good at talking, we're not really good at listening. And listening is not just pausing. It's not just stopping for a second and allowing your partner to say something. It's actually trying to consume and count, you know, weigh what they're, discern what they're saying. What do they mean? What are they feeling? And there's, it's a window into their soul when you listen. But obviously it's not when you're already thinking about what you're getting ready to say next. So to actively listen, it's an act. It's not something that's passive. Listening is not passive, but it does involve you shutting your mouth and then paying attention, not looking away, not rolling your eyes, not reacting. It's like, let me hear what you have to say. And so listening is a powerful characteristic. And then I do want to bring up the dying to self. We really do have to die to ourselves. That's what we said that marriage is in true love. It's like total gift of self, one to the other. And when we put the other first, when both put the other first, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing, because then God becomes first in the relationship. And there has to be death to self. So get rid of the selfishness and replace it with selflessness, right? That's also required. And then just one last thing, and that is yours, mine, and ours. Be careful with how we use these words. You are one flesh. Everything needs to lean more towards ours. Doesn't mean you can't have your likes and dislikes. Doesn't mean you suddenly have to like onions if you don't like onions because your spouse likes onions. It just means we have to lean more towards the ours. Maybe we need to start focusing on our friends and not my friends and your friends. Anything that's other than ours becomes a wedge and a potential danger to the one flesh relationship, right? It becomes a separation point. Doesn't mean you can't have like a weekend with the guys golfing, or the girls have a weekend that they go off and hang out and have a good time. It doesn't mean that those things don't happen. It just means that we have to keep all of that balanced. So all these things that we've talked about, vulnerability, trust, honesty, openness, prayer, listening, dying to self, mine, yours, and ours. All of these things are vitally important to authentic communication. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.